ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 13, entitled Dhritarashtra Kritsam, Text Number 43. Yatakrito paskaranam Samyoga vigamaviham Ischaya kritu shyatam Tatai Veshaya Mrinam Word for word, please repeat. Yata, as much as Krida Upaskaranam, playthings, Samyoga, union, Vigamal, disunion, Iha, in this world. Ichchaya, by the will of Kriditu, just to play a part. Syatam, takes place. Tata, so also. Eva, certainly. Isha, the Supreme Lord. Ichchaya, by the will of Nunam, of the human beings. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Translation. As a player sets up and disperses his playthings according to his own sweet will, so the supreme will of the Lord brings men together and separates them. Purport. We must know for certain that the particular position in which we are now set up is an arrangement of the Supreme Will in terms of our own acts in the past. The Supreme Lord is present as the localized Paramatma in the heart of every living being, as it is said in the Bhagavad Gita 13:23, and therefore He knows everything of our activities in every stage of our lives. He rewards the reactions of our actions by placing us in some particular place. A rich man gets his son born with a silver spoon in his mouth. But the child who came as the rich man's son deserves such a place, and therefore he is placed there by the will of the Lord. And at a particular moment when the child has to be removed from that place, he is also carried by the will of the Supreme. Even if the child or the father does not wish to be separated from the happy relation. The same thing happens in the case of a poor man also. Neither rich man nor poor man has any control over such meetings or separations of living beings. The example of a player and his playthings should not be misunderstood. One may argue that since the Lord is bound to reward the reactionary results of our own actions, the example of a player cannot be applied, but it is not so. We must always remember that the Lord is the supreme will, and He is not bound by any law. Generally, the law of karma is that one is awarded the result of one's own actions, but in special cases, by the will of the Lord, such resultant actions are changed also. But this change can be effected by the will of the Lord only, and no other. Therefore, the example of the player cited in this verse is quite appropriate. For the Supreme Will is absolutely free to do whatever He likes. And because He is all perfect, there is no mistake in any of His actions or reactions. These changes of resultant actions are especially rendered by the Lord when a pure devotee is involved. It is assured in the Bhagavad Gita 9:30 and 31 that the Lord saves a pure devotee who is surrendered unto Him without reservation from all sorts of reactions of sins, and there is no doubt about this. There are hundreds of examples of reactions changed by the Lord in the history of the world. If the Lord is able to change the reactions of one's past deeds, then certainly He is not Himself bound by any actions or reactions of His own deeds. He is perfect and transcendental to all laws. Srila Prabhupada ki Om Agnatam Narandasya Dhananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukham Karoti Vatalam Pangun Lagate Gurum Yakripa Tamaham Bande Shri Gurum Dinatarnam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So the laws of karma, very intricate indeed. Karma, the word karma, is becoming more and more popular in today's society by the layman. Like, people can understand that there's a law of nature. Right, you know, there's a law of like photosynthesis, there's a law of gravity. You know, there's so many laws which materialists can see, you know, and understand. You know, but it seems to like go over their head that for every action and every word they speak, you know, there's also a law behind that as well. There's a very nice story that one of my godbrothers in New Zealand, he told in one of his classes about when he'd been practicing Krishna consciousness for a few years, and he was based in Sydney Temple, and he was in the next to the temple there's a laundrette where he used to do his laundry, and he was doing his laundry one day when an old friend he knew from many, many years ago, he said, "Hey, Luke, is that you?" You know, and my godbrother turned around, and it was he recognized the voice, but his body that he knew this person to be has completely changed. You know, he like it was huge, massive. You know, like been. Bodybuilding, and he had this massive scar on the side of his face. You know, they caught up, you know, after so many years of not seeing each other. And this guy was inquiring from Luke about, you know, what he was doing. And he said, "Oh yeah, you know, I've joined the temple next door, and one of the Hare Krishnas now." And this guy was like, "Oh, you believe in karma, right?" And then Luke said, yeah, that's right. He goes, "Well, I got a story to tell you." And he said that, you know, I believe in karma as well. You know that, he said, "So many years ago I was with my girlfriend, and we went out for a night on the town. You know, went to some pubs and, you know, had some drinks. And towards the end of the night, my girlfriend, she broke up the relationship with me. And she finished it. You know, and I was completely distraught. You know, I was so devastated. You know, that, you know, what was in my mind is that if I can't have you, then no one can." You know, so he started beating her. And it ended up that he picked up a, you know, there's like those iron grills on, in the road. Yeah, he picked up one of those iron grills and he threw it on top of her head. And it crushed her skull and killed her. You know? And so he managed to escape the police for a couple of years, but finally they caught him. And he was sentenced to imprison, a term of imprisonment. I'm not sure how long it was. But anyway, he was on parole when he met Luke. And he was telling Luke Yane, like, while I was in prison, that I was working in the kitchens, and I was like cooking burgers, like on like a hot stove, yeah. And I slipped, and my face landed on the stove, you know, and it stuck. It stuck to the hot plate, and that's why he had this massive scar on the side of his face. And that was the same side of the face that he dropped this iron bar, this iron grate on his girlfriend's head. Yeah, so when so although many people, they recognize, or they, you know, understand that there's a law of nature, the law, laws of karma exist, but unless they understand, you know, that that we are not the body, that we are a spirit soul, yeah, then it's very difficult for them to comprehend about the reactions that people are getting. You know, like we see so many people, so-called innocent people, you know, starving in third world countries around the world. We see so many people suffering, or children even suffering for unnecessary. They're suffering in what's the word? Suffering in such intense ways, you know, that they can't, people can't understand why they are suffering, because they don't understand that we're the spiritual being inside the body. You know, before I came to Krishna consciousness, I used to work many different jobs. I was a, as some of you know, I was a chef by trade. But I used to work as a gardener. I used to work as a builder. I was a bricklayer for some time. And while I was traveling for 3 years before coming to Krishna consciousness, when you travel, you just work any job you can find, you know. But one of the jobs I used to have, is I used to work on prawn trawlers. Yeah. These, you know what prawn trawlers are? Like fishing boats. You know, they used to, they catch prawns. The prawns are little shellfish, yeah. So they're called prawn trawlers. You know, and this is a very effective way on creating a lots and lots of karma, bad karma. You know, like, this is the most intense work I've ever done in my life. I had my longest straight shift of no sleep for 32 hours. You know? 32 hours non-stop. And, because, like, it's when you hit a patch of. I was in the Gulf of Carpentaria, which is in between Cairns and Darwin. No? And when you hit like a patch of prawns, yeah, then you just keep on working until you're pulling up nothing. You just keep on like dropping the nets and pulling them up until nothing's left. So I was working these insanely long hours, and I was spending between 4 and 7 hours a day in minus 40 degrees. The whole of the underneath of the boat is a snap freezer. So like, you catch the prawns, you drop them in the trays, then they go on the conveyor belt and you sort them out into different sizes. And then they're boxed and then they're taken down into the freezer, until they get back to land. So, spending between 4 and 7 hours a day in minus 40 degrees. I had to wear these big, like, freezer suits. And then I was coming up deck to plus 30 degrees. There's like a 70 degree difference there. And it wasn't just like prawns we were catching. It's like anything that happened to get pulled up from the ocean. Like sometimes we'd drop the nets, and there'd be these big sharks in there. And it's like, because the sharks, they're thrashing around like anything, and they're crushing all the prawns, so it's the money. So you have to jump in a tray, grab the shark by the tail, swing it around and throw it over the deck. Some of the things that we used to catch, there would be like these stonefish. They were so poisonous that if you touch one, then you have a matter of minutes to live. Just by touching it, that's how poisonous they are. If one was to fall overboard, then the skipper wouldn't go back for you. Because, all the dead refuse, which is being thrown back into the ocean, that's no use, that we can't sell. There's just like a massive shoal of sharks. It's like a feeding ground for sharks. And it said that if the sharks don't get you, then the box jellyfish will. And if the box jellyfish don't get you, then the saltwater crocodiles will. It's exciting stuff working in prawn trawlers. So anyway, while sorting through the prawns, that you would find that prawns have these very sharp antennas on the front of their head. And when you're sorting through them, these antennas, sometimes they'd get stuck in your fingers. And the tips would break off. And then your hands get infected. And they swell up like balloons. And after a month or so, your hands, they go rock hard like wood, just from being constantly infected. And it swells. And also, because I spent a few weeks refurnishing the boats before I went out. So when you're painting the deck of the boat, you throw sand on at the same time, because it acts as grip. But when you're out at sea, you don't wear any shoes on deck, and so it takes all the skin off the bottom of your feet, so you end up with raw red raw feet. But again, after a while, the pain, it dulls. You get used to it. It's breaking through the pain barrier. So I spent 2 months out at sea doing this prawn trawling. That's uber karma. Killing hundreds of thousands of living entities every day just for a bit of money. It was really good money, but I don't recommend anyone to do it. So actually, the karma that is created in today's society, you know, it's called vikarma, you know, or ugra karma. What does ugra mean? Ugra means fierce. Right? So people, they're creating such fierce karma, which is going to have such inconceivable reactions upon them. Like, isn't it said that if one slaughters a cow, then one has to, like, suffer in a hell for how many hairs on the body of that, suffer in a hell for how many years, or the same number of years that on the hairs of the body of that cow, right? Isn't that right? Yeah. And it says, and if thousands, millions of cows being slaughtered every day, and we can, it's inconceivable the suffering that these persons have to go through. So we hear in the purport here how that the Supreme Lord, He changes, He can change the karma of a devotee. You know, Srila Prabhupada once said that if you come in front of the deities and clap your hands 3 times, yeah, then your destiny changes, your karma changes. And as she has said, at the time of initiation, the spiritual master, he recommends the disciple to Krishna, and the spiritual master, accepts the karma. I think as Keshava Prabhu once said in his class, that the karma, the guru is a transparent via medium. Yeah, therefore, the karma goes through the spiritual master to Krishna, and it's only Krishna that can take away the karma. But the spiritual master, sometimes he suffers some reaction, you know, from the karma going through him. So yeah, it's only the this is actually the only hope for the persons in today's society, is devotional service, coming to Krishna consciousness. Even by performing pious activities from the backgrounds that people are coming from, you know, they still have so much suffering. It doesn't work. The laws of karma don't work that, you know, you do one good deed and it nullifies a bad deed. No, it doesn't work like that. You have to suffer the bad deeds as well. You might get the reactions from the good deeds that you've done, but you still have to suffer the reactions from the bad deeds. Okay, so what I was thinking of doing is continuing Dhammada meditation. My godbrother Kelly Titipubu sent me over this book from New Zealand. It's a transcribed lecture by His Holiness Srila Radhagopinda Goswami Maharaj. Many of you probably haven't heard of Maharaj, but he's a disciple of Srila Prabhupada, and he preaches mostly in India. His body is from Bihar state. So anyway, I've marked some places I thought I'd read, and these are really nice things to meditate on. With the whole of her being, Mother Yashoda was churning the yogurt. As she was pulling the rope of the churning rod, her golden bangles were shaking and making a sweet sound. Her earrings shook and jingled harmoniously. Then her ankle bells and the golden belt around her waist also joined in, creating a beautiful melodious sound. It was as if an expert cartel player was playing. As she was churning the yogurt, the churning rod, sounding like an expert mridanga player. In this way, Mother Yashoda had full musical accompaniment as she continued to sing about the Krishna's glorious childhood pastimes. She became so absorbed in the churning that she completely forgot herself and lost awareness of her own body. On her forehead and over her face there was perspiration, which made her look even more beautiful. It was as if she had never churned yogurt so intensely before. In this way she was churning yogurt. When someone works hard and perspires, his beauty and charm increases, especially when engaged in performing devotional service. In her hair she was wearing a garland of malati flowers. Even the malati flowers from this garland were falling to the ground due to her intense endeavor. In this way, she was churning the yogurt. Her hands and body were engaged in this intense labor to make the makkhan. Her tongue was singing the glories and pastimes of Krishna. Her ears were engaged in hearing these songs, and her mind was remembering and meditating on how she would make the makkhan to feed Krishna. This is the state of the perfect devotee, fully engaged, engaging mind, body, and intelligence in the service of Krishna. Many acharyas have given their realizations on this pastime. Why were her bangles making a wonderful sound? In this transcendental world, even the bangles are conscious. So the bangles were thinking. Today we are so fortunate to be on the hands of Mother Yashoda, who are engaged in Krishna's seva. They were singing out of joy and congratulating her. In reality, our hands do not become beautiful simply by wearing golden jewelry. Our hands can only be considered beautiful if we engage them in the service of the Supreme Lord. And her earrings were also moving back and forth as if jumping out of joy. They too were thinking, today we are so fortunate to be the only ears that are engaged in hearing the glories of Krishna. On the ears of one who is engaged in Krishna's service. Her malati flowers were falling to the ground. Why was that? It was because the flowers were thinking, today Ma is engaged in Krishna's service, and hence we do not belong on her head, but at her feet instead. Mother Yashoda is fully and joyfully absorbed in this Dadati Mantan Seva, the churning of yogurt into makkhan. Hearing Mother Yashoda's voice from the melodious sound of the Dadhi Mantan, yogurt being churned, Krishna woke up earlier than usual. On this day, Krishna woke up earlier than usual. He was looking for his mother and thought, why is Ma not here with me on the bed? When he heard her singing in another room, he immediately thought, what is wrong with her today? She is not worried about me at all. She has left me to start on her ordinary household duties. When Krishna woke up, he became desirous to drink milk from her breasts. Children, even when they are babies, are very expert in getting the attention they want. And they don't get the attention they seek, they become very naughty. Usually when Krishna wakes up, Mother Yashoda is right there for him. She hugs him, feeds him, pampers him, etc. However, today was different. Mother Yashoda was completely ignoring him. Krishna thought, is this housework so important that she has to leave me? So he feigns crying. Rubbing his eyes with his hands, he started walking towards the room where he could hear her singing. He walked to where she was churning the yogurt, the Dadati Mantana, and looked up at her. However, Mother Yashoda did not notice that Krishna had come. There is an important lesson here. When will Krishna come to us? Krishna will not come to us when we are simply relaxing comfortably and thinking ourselves to be absorbed in meditation on Him. However, He feels greatly obliged to come to us when we are absorbed in devotional service, working hard and even perspiring for Him. Krishna feels compelled to give us His darshan when we are so completely engaged in devotional service that we may not even notice His very presence. When Mother Yashoda was thus absorbed in feeding baby Krishna, something else caught her attention. On the nearby stove, the milk had started to boil over. Seeing this, Mother Yashoda quickly put Krishna down and ran to the stove to save the milk. In the transcendental realm, milk is also conscious. The milk thought, "Why am I doing the tapasya of tolerating this heat? If Krishna will not drink me, but drink only Mother Yashoda's milk, then it is better for me to commit suicide by jumping into the fire. If I cannot serve Krishna, then why should I live?" Thinking in this way, the milk started to boil over. In boiling over, the milk was also trying to get Mother Yashoda's attention. Mother Yashoda then began thinking, "This is the special milk from the Padma Ganda cows." So Maharaj Nanda, he has 900,000 cows. And of this 900,000, there's 100 Padma Ganda cows. They're very special cows. They're given the best grass to graze on. So, "I must quickly save it, as it is meant for Krishna." Thinking like this, she put Krishna down and ran to save the milk. In Braj, Padma Ganda cow is very special. Extraordinarily fragrant grasses are reserved for their grazing, and their bodies emitted a wonderful lotus scent. There were only 100 such cows, and they produced very special milk. Mother Yashoda had reserved some of this milk especially for Krishna. As she ran to save the special milk, the milk out of shame stopped boiling over and resumed its normal state. The milk now started to think that it had committed a great offense by interrupting the loving exchange between Mother Yashoda and Krishna. The milk chided itself. What have I done? Mother Yashoda was so happy and joyfully feeding Krishna, and I have impeded her devotional service. I am an offender. Mother Yashoda reached the stove and put the milk aside. In the meantime, what was Krishna thinking? Little Krishna now became angry. He thought, "How dare Mother Yashoda put me aside while I'm drinking her milk? I am still hungry. Does she not care for me at all? Just to save a little milk, she throws me aside and runs off. How dare she?" His lips became swollen and red because he bit them with his small white teeth. "Ma does not care for me at all. Who does she think she is, throwing me aside to save the milk? I will show her. She will be sorry. I'll break everything in the house. I won't leave anything untouched." So now Mother Yashoda started chasing Krishna. Mother Yashoda did not want to let Krishna get away. She was determined to catch him, so she began to run after him. This was the first time that such a leela had taken place where Krishna was seen as at fault, and his devotee was apparently angry at him. Shukadeva Goswami next said, "The yogis whose minds have become purified by performing all types of austerities and who can travel at the speed of the wind cannot catch or attain Krishna. They are unable to do so in their minds, even after thousands of years of meditation." However, in this leela, Mother Yashoda was running after that same unattainable Krishna, chasing him with a stick in her hand. At first, Krishna ran from room to room with Mother Yashoda in chase. Then he left the house and ran into the streets of Gokul. Mother Yashoda resolved, "Today Krishna is not going to get away from me. Wherever he goes, I will pursue him." In this way, she followed him everywhere. Being light and agile, Krishna was running in a zigzag manner. He was running in and out of everyone's houses, and Mother Yashoda was following him. She remained determined to catch her mischievous son. However, Mother Yashoda was not used to running like this, so she soon became tired and was perspiring. After a long chase, Mother Yashoda finally caught Krishna and firmly grasped his right hand. With his left hand, Krishna wiped the tears from his eyes. Mother Yashoda addressed him, "O friends of the monkeys, are these monkeys your relatives? Why are you feeding them so freely? O breaker of the yoga pot, until now I have not believed the complaints of the other gopis, but today I have caught you red-handed. Today you will be severely punished. I will beat you." She waved a stick at Krishna, chidding him. Why did you break the pot? Tell me. Little Krishna was shaking in fear, crying and wiping his eyes with his hands. As he wiped his tears, his eyeliner was smudged all over his face. Somehow this made him look even more beautiful. He cried again and again and pleaded, "Ma, please let me go. I promise I'll never do this again. I promise, please let me go." When Mother Yashoda saw that Krishna had become very frightened, she put the stick down. Krishna breathed a sigh of relief, thinking that perhaps the worst was over. He thought, "At least she won't hit me now with a stick. I will not get beaten." This pastime demonstrates the uniqueness of Krishna's Vrajalila. In no other incarnation does the Supreme Lord await judgment from anyone. Here Krishna is guiltily standing in front of his mother, his fate completely in her hands. Mother Yashoda now had full jurisdiction to decide whether to punish, bind or release Krishna. This is the specialty of the parental affection, Vatsalya Bhav, or Vraj. Where there is the knowledge of Krishna's Godhead is covered. Shukadev Goswami then says, seeing the genuine fear in his eyes, Mother Yashoda put her stick down and contemplated on how else to discipline her mischievous son. Mother Yashoda sternly told Krishna, "Stay here. If you dare to move, I'll beat you." She asked the other gopis to keep an eye on him. Until this point, Balaram was not there. So someone informed Balaram that his brother was tied up. Upon arriving, Balaram assumed his Sankarshan mood and strongly declared, Who dares bind Krishna? I am Sankarshan, I am Sheshanag. As Sankarshan, I can burn the entire universe with one breath. As Sheshanag, I can inundate the entire Braj with the poison coming from one of my thousand hoods. Does this wrongdoer not know what I can do? Who has done this? Who tied Krishna? Someone told Balaram that it was Mother Yashoda who had bound Krishna. Upon hearing this, Balaram's mood changed. He was no longer like the fiery snake. He became like a timid mouse. Balaram's anger waned, and he did not know what to do. Balaram saw that Krishna was crying, and Krishna, seeing Balaram, cried even more to invoke his mercy. Seeing Krishna crying, Balaram became angry again and shouted, "Who has tied Krishna? He is Narayan, he is Narasimha, he is Vamana, he is Matsya. Krishna is the origin of all avatars. He is everything. Who is the guilty one? I have 1,000 hoods. I will burn this Braj to the ground with the flames of my 1,000 hoods." Looking at Balaram, Mother Yashoda sarcastically said, "Oh, I see. Krishna is the origin of all incarnations? If that is so, then who are you?" Balaram replied, "I am Lakshman, I am Sheshanag, I am Sankarshan. I can do this, I can do that," Mother Yashoda then said. "Do all these incarnations have to appear only in my home?" She picked up her stick and waved it threateningly at Balaram. She warned, "You had better get out of here before I beat and bind you as well." Hearing this, Balaram ran away. All his Sankarshan power was no longer present. Mother Yashoda said, "Krishna is Bhagavan? Indeed. He hears a cat meow and he runs to me." Bhagavan Narasimha is like this? If Krishna is Bhagavan, then why does he need to steal Makka? Balaram ran from his Mother Yashoda and went to Krishna saying, "I told you so many times to give up this Makkan stealing. Did you listen to me? You ignored my advice and now you are suffering. What can I do? If someone else has tied you, I would have taken care of it. But when Ma ties you, what can I do? I am helpless. What can I do to stop her? I heard that you broke the yoga pot. Why did you do that? Even if you had broken the pot, why did you not just stop that? Instead, you had to continue your mischief and make her more angry. My dear brother Krishna, I am sorry, there is nothing I can do. And Krishna heard this and began to cry even more. So I'll stop there. Does anyone have any questions or comments about what we've spoken of? Okay, thank you all for patiently listening. This will be my last class in Melbourne for a while. I'll be leaving on Tuesday for New Zealand. So I beg you all to please give me your blessings so that I can help to push forward Srila Prabhupada's movement in New Zealand for a while. Hey Gantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jaya, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya, Jaya Jaya Nitya Gopi Manandi.